This is Jay Sekulow. An historic march for life in Washington, D.C. as controversy surrounds the Supreme Court leaker.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Sekulow. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
Hey everybody, welcome to the broadcast. This is an historic day. This is the first March for Life that has taken place post the decision in Dobbs, post the decision that overturned Roe versus Wade. So we're going to, Jordan's in Washington. He'll be coming with us later in the broadcast. We're going to hear from people that are right there on the during the march right now. So that's going to be really interesting. We're also going to talk about the Supreme Court leak report that came out. We'll get into that in the next segment of the broadcast because it's interesting. Right now, they have no definitive person of who it is, and they've interviewed all the law clerks and I think up to 100 people. Michael Chertoff is a friend of ours I've known for a long time, was former Homeland Security Director under George W. Bush. Smart guy. His firm did the outside part of the investigation. Does not look like it was exterior hacking or anything like that. It looks like it was an inside job, so to speak. I hate even saying it that way, but that's what it appears to be. We'll get into that and what does it mean. But here's where we are. We are at the very first March for Life post the decision overturning Roe versus Wade. There's a Marist poll out that's showing that 88% of Democrats, Marist is a very good polling organization, agreeing that pro-life resource centers are doing important work. I found that, Cece, to be fascinating.
Well, and I think it goes to show you, because we know that pregnancy resource centers, the pro-life centers, are attacked by Democrats just consistently on the federal level and the state level. So I think it goes to show you that what we say all the time is that those Democrats are owned by Planned Parenthood. They're not actually representing even their Democrat constituents. When you have 88% of Democrat constituents saying that they also support the good work that pro-life pregnancy resource centers do.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. We're going to get into some of that data, too, because, Logan, there's a whole shift going on right now in the pro-life movement is how do you engage this generation? And I still think at the end of the day, folks, I'm going to say this later in the broadcast, you could put legislation through, you could fight this out in the state courts, which we are, but you got to change hearts and minds.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of people are, you know, they see today's news, which is interesting because it has been another sort of storm at one time over the life issue, whether that is what happened with the Supreme Court, and of course this March for Life, which if people don't know, a lot of people don't know, this is the reason the March for Life is this weekend, is because it's typically in commemoration of the ruling of Roe versus Wade.
Right.
Now this is the first one post-Roe, so we'll see how, I'm curious how turnout is, I'm curious what response is. We're going to hear from a lot of people who are on the ground there, including my brother, who'll be joining us in just a little bit. Obviously, there's a lot going on in Washington, D.C., but he will join us later in the broadcast to discuss it. And I'm curious your thoughts when you hear what's going on with the leaking situation, when you hear what's going on, that there is a March for Life, and that abortion laws are changing in state by state, slowly but surely things are happening. I'd love to get your thoughts. 1-800-684-3110. How do we address, like you said, this issue moving forward as it is different now on a non-federal level?
You know, it is really good. It'd be great to hear from our audience today as part of the program. How does this issue rate for you right now is importance? And where do you think it goes from here? And what would you like to see happen? We will take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. So we're going to open up our phone lines for you to comment on the life issue. And here we are again, post-Dobbs. Let me also say this. The American Center for Law and Justice, front and center on these issues. ACLJ Action, front and center on these issues. Whether it's in court, whether it's in city council hearings, whether it's before the halls of Congress or state legislators. We're there. And we're going to continue that fight for life. But at the end of the day, as I said, hearts and minds have to be changed. And I think the technology is certainly helping in this issue of life. To me, there's no doubt in my mind about that. We're taking your calls, 800-684-3110. Also, follow us on all of our social media as well. Logan will let you know how to do that.
Yes, that's right. You can follow us. First, go to ACLJ.org. You can find a lot of great resources, a lot of great information on all of our shows we put up, special videos, blogs, news articles from great leaders. Again, join us there. But you can also find us on all of social media platforms. We broadcast this show each and every day on Rumble, of course. We're also on YouTube and Facebook and Instagram at all of us, at ACLJ, Jay Sekulow, Logan Sekulow. Find us there. We'll be right back.
1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. March for Life in Washington, D.C. today. First March for Life after the overturning of the Supreme Court opinion in Roe versus Wade and Dobbs. Now, there was a leak on Dobbs. Remember that? It came out in April, and it came up before the appeal, a little bit earlier than that, actually. And there's been an investigation going on. Well, the Supreme Court issued, it looks like a, if they call it, statement of the court concerning the leak investigation, and it includes, as an appendix, the documents that the court relied on, including the court consulted with Michael Chertoff, former Secretary of Homeland Security, and judge for the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit, Assistant Attorney General for the Criminal Division. They wanted to assess the Marshall's investigation. Let me go to Andy Economo, Senior Counsel here at the ACLJ. Andy, you did a lot of law enforcement work as a lawyer. What's your assessment of what they found?
Well, the first thing that I think we need to make clear is that, contrary to some people's statements, the court is a victim in this case. The court was victimized. It was one of the worst breaches of trust in history and a grave assault, as the Chief Justice said, in the judicial process, a betrayal of that trust by the leaking of the opinion. And what I see here is a thorough investigation having been commenced and concluded by the marshal of the court, which is essentially the court's bailiff and her officers. And they did, I think, all the interviews that they did appropriately and properly. Secretary Chertoff confirmed that in his analysis.
They are getting some flack because they didn't interview the justices, but I think that would be a very dangerous
precedent. No, I don't think absolutely correct. You don't interview the justices. The justices are essentially the clients in the case, and the court is the ultimate client, of course, as a body, but you don't interview the justices. But he did say, Judge Chertoff, that there was not enough to show anything other than that it was an inside job. As we said, somebody within the court did the leak. It was not somebody invading the court from outside doing it. And I think he is correct in saying, as the marshal concluded, that there is no real basis for additional investigative measures to be taken at this time.
So it looks like we're not going to know who did it. But it was interesting. You got to put this back in historical context. Why was this leaked? What was the purpose of the leak? I think that's what people want to know. Why did they do it?
I mean, I think that we all know what happened. We all saw what happened, too, which was chaos. I mean, it was chaos.
Totally chaos.
And hopefully, I think maybe at the time they thought it may change an opinion, because as you guys maybe can lead through, just because it was a draft opinion, the original Roe was decided later on.
Yeah,
they changed. They can change their vote.
It's not an opinion until it's published, printed, and entered into the court's docket.
So they thought maybe there'd be public pressure.
Exactly.
I think that was clear, that the intent releasing this document, you know, it was an egregious breach of trust, as the Chief Justice said, but there was an intent and a purpose behind that, and that was to intimidate one of the justices to change their vote. And we saw that even when they went before the justices' homes, basically to intimidate them. So this was all part of that plan.
It was chaos. I mean, they tried to create chaos, and they did.
Protest of all the justices.
Can we get the language? I want that speech from Senator Schumer in front of the Supreme Court. We'll play that in a moment. We've got a call. I want to take it. We got a number of calls coming in, 800-684-3110. But you got to put all of this into context. Let's go ahead.
Yep, let's go. Let's just go to the calls. Let's go to Kathy, who's calling in Kentucky on line two. You're on the air.
Hello, and thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
And I thank you for the important work that you do, because it is so very much needed. I have a comment. Because Senator Rand Paul is a very avid supporter of the Life at Conception Act, which I recently received a petition for my congresspersons. Now, I believe that now is the time for that act to be passed. If you found out that there are 88% of Democrats who support...
Well, they're not saying 88% of Democrats support a pro-life agenda. That is not correct. What the 88% is, this is Gordon Marist, 91% of Americans, including 88% of Democrats, support the work of pro-life pregnancy resource centers.
Yeah, and that does make sense, because what pro-life pregnancy resource centers do is actually offer an option for women who have a pregnancy that maybe was unplanned, and they give them options more options than what Planned Parenthood does, which is only death. And so when you have 88% of Democrats saying, well, we support that, we support having to the option to go to another, you know, resource and getting all the information that, that a woman needs, that makes sense. But it also shows that the Democrats that are in control in government targeting these pro-life
which
resource
are most of the Democrat
centers,
state attorney
that's
generals,
right, they
right,
are owned by Planned Parenthood.
Yes, because if that is, if the Marist poll is correct, the leadership of the Democratic Party, including the attorney generals, are not fulfilling the wishes of their citizenry, including their own party constituents, if the Marist poll is correct. Now, what's interesting to me, Andy, is when we go back to this leak, there was nefarious intent. The idea here was to create an environment of either pressure or embarrassment or whatever it was on the Supreme Court. I want to play first, before I have you comment, I want to play what Chuck Schumer said the day the case was argued. This is the Dobbs case when it was argued. This is what he said at the steps of the Supreme Court.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions.
So a sitting member of the United States Senate, the leader of the United States Senate.
He's pretty specific.
Now.
You always hear the, you know, we're coming for you a lot. You don't really hear the, if you go forward with this decision, which I think is probably the most important one, which is saying, we're pressuring you to change your vote.
Well, exactly right. If you go forward with this decision, if you overturn Roe, okay? If you do that, if you go, you're going to, we release the whirlwind. The whirlwind ended up being an assassination attempt on Justice Kavanaugh, protests at the justice's house, chaos in streets and in front of the Supreme Court. That's what they released. And the political leadership needs to take responsibility for that leak as well.
Yeah.
Even if they didn't do it, they utilized it.
That is, Schumer's statements were despicable and outrageous to not only attack the court as an institution, but to name two of the justices and to essentially say, we're coming after you. Is a, I can't even call it a breach of trust. It's horrible. It's absolutely, how can you even conceive of a senator of the United States, especially the leader of the Democratic Party in the Senate, making a remark like that? And that's exactly what he was trying to do, to pressure the court. Thank goodness the court did not succumb to that pressure.
And for people who are just tuning in or just listening now, because we're obviously going over, really kind of going over the last year since the Dobbs decision initially leaked. And obviously we had the breaking news yesterday of that they couldn't really determine what the leak was or who the leaker was. And then, of course, today is the March for Life. We're going to have people joining us in the next segments coming up live from Washington, D.C., from the March for Life. So I want to make sure if you're just tuning in, you're like, do the Schumer clip I've heard for the last year, that you know that this is just us sort of recapping everything that's happened leading up to this moment, which is, again, statements from this. Again, whenever life becomes a topic, the whirlwind surrounds it. So not only was it already going to be a pretty historic March for Life, a celebration, if you will, now it's kind of muddled in more chaos from the Supreme Court.
No, it's exactly correct. And look, the end result was the decision was there and the decision stayed. Let me tell you a couple of points in that decision. Number one, of course, the court said there was no constitutional right to abortion. And that was the correct conclusion. They returned it to the states. Now, the states are a battle. But one of the decisions, one of the cases they relied on to say there was no constitutional right to abortion, because one of the arguments that was made, and CeCe, this was an argument that was made a lot, was that opposition to abortion was discrimination against women. That was the kind of the equal protection clause argument that the pro-abortion groups had utilized for 40 years in the court.
Yeah. There's
that
abortion.
Opposition to the abortion itself was discrimination against women.
Absolutely. Abortion distortion, you can see that clearly in the language that the pro-abortions use. They don't use murdering a baby. They use, you know, reproductive health care, the right to access reproductive health care. Here they're saying because you don't allow a woman to have an abortion, that's discriminating against a woman. So they spin it each time to get the, you know, your eyes off of what's really happening is murdering a baby, and there is no constitutional right
to do that
found in our Constitution to murder a child.
So the Supreme Court relied on a decision in a case I argued in 1991, twice actually before the Supreme Court, was re-argued, called Bray versus Alexandria Women's Health Clinic. In that case, by the way, on my side of the case, I argued for the private petitioners in the case. John Roberts was the Deputy Solicitor General of the United States. He argued for the United States government, who filed briefs on our side, saying that opposition to abortion was not discrimination against women. There was no class-based animus is what the law actually says. And we won that case. And that line, opposition to abortion did not constitute class-based animus against women, was in Dobbs cited by Justice Alito. So there you have it. So when you work on something and you see the fruit of it, you know, 30 years later. And that's why we stay involved in these issues and continue to move forward on them, Logan.
Yeah, coming up in the next segment, we are going to be taking not only your phone calls, we have guests joining us from the March for Life, so you're going to hear that coming up. And give us a call, again, 1-800-684-3110. Your voice heard on the air. If you're watching on Rumble or YouTube, hit that thumbs up, give us a comment. If you are watching on Facebook, share this with your friends. Important historic day. We're not only breaking down the news, but we are also covering the March for Life live. So we'll be going live to Washington, D.C., in just a couple minutes. So you want to stay tuned for that. Again, visit ACLJ.org, support the work of the ACLJ, and also find all the incredible content that we provide to you on that broadcast and on that platform.
Broadcast, everyone. First March for Life after the decision overturning Roe versus Wade in the Dobbs case. We're joined by a good friend of ours, someone that I'm going to put up on the screen right now for our audience that's watching. This is the cover of American Lawyer magazine. It says, defending the new civil disobedience, and it's a picture of a very young Jay Sekulow and a very young Randall Terry, who was the leader of Operation Rescue, which made national news and brought the abortion issue really to the forefront again, and it was not. I mean, you got to give a lot of credit to Operation Rescue, and Randall Terry was aggressive. Legal action in those days, it was social protests and the tradition of civil disobedience. And Randall is in Washington right now. You know, Randy, you and I talked, you were in our office a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about, we didn't know if we were going to live to see the day that Roe versus Wade would be overturned. And here we are now celebrating the first, and I can say celebrate, the overturning of Roe versus Wade and Dobbs. What's the reaction in Washington right now? I know you're there at the march.
People are very excited. Jay, by the way, thank you for having me. Sure. And I want to just tell your listeners, Jay kept my butt out of a lot of trouble. I appreciate it, Jay. People, one day we'll be able to tell the stories, but yep. Man, oh man, I'd have been in a lot of trouble if it wasn't for you and the ACLJ. So thank you.
Sure.
People here are really excited because it is the first march where Roe is dead. And the theme for a lot of people is that we're dancing on the grave of Roe versus Wade. But there's also a sense of sobriety because now we have a big fight ahead of us. In my opinion, overturning Roe was a massive victory, and it was similar to taking Normandy Beach in World War II. Normandy Beach was a critical victory that had to happen if the Nazis were going to be defeated. But it wasn't the end of the war. The mission for the Allies was to get to Berlin. And our mission is now the long, hard, controversial work of giving the full protection of law to babies from conception until birth. So it's joy mingled with a sense of duty and obligation, and that we've got our work cut out for us.
You know, it's very interesting, Randall, that you said the controversial work of supporting the life of the child from conception to birth. Now, CC Hollis here, our senior counsel at the ACLJ, does a lot of the pro-life issues. I want to think about that for a moment, because Randall's right. That's deemed controversial. But isn't that still sad, that protecting life of the unborn child until delivery is controversial?
Yes, and I'll go even further, that with Democrats, it's even controversial once the baby is born, because as we saw, the Republican Congress tried to introduce a bill that said once a baby is born from a botched abortion, there is a requirement to actually provide medical care for that child. And the Democrats voted down party lines not to allow that. So they don't, not only do they not care about the baby while it's in the womb, they don't care about that baby once it's born. Abortion rules supreme.
Yeah, so Randall, you're right. But the fact that it's deemed controversial says something in and of itself.
My encouragement to your listeners is this. The scriptures teach us that we're going to have conflict in this world. We're going to have tribulation. And the last 15, 20 years has had so much push on us of tolerance and diversity and multiculturalism and don't hurt people's feelings, don't say anything that might offend someone. We have to get over that, and we have to be willing to say, here I stand. I can do nothing else. Babies are made in the image of God. They deserve the protection of law, and we are not going to equivocate. We are not going to back down. Right. We're not going to apologize, and we're not going to stop fighting.
Do you sense, Randall, you're there? I mean, so it's obviously, it's got to be, I mean, you're there, and we're here later from Jordan, who's in our studio in D.C. just arrived. It's got to be a different feeling than in previous ones, though, right? I mean, there's got to be a different sense.
There is. Although it's interesting, there's way fewer people here this year.
Yes.
And I think that some people are saying, you know what, we won this battle, and maybe they'll start to have marches on the day of Dobbs.
You know, I said that in our pre-meeting today, Logan, exactly what Randy just said, that the day of the march should be the day that Roe was overturned. That to me is, I think that may have been a fundamental, you know, issue here.
Yeah, maybe that is what it needs to move to. One, better weather, people can show up. Also, you have situations where we are in an interesting time because, yes, 7 months ago, you had a historic win, and then you had a pretty big revolt,
yeah,
in terms of how
politics,
the elections all turned out. So there's people coming at this who are not necessarily as inflated maybe as you want. And then there are, like you said, maybe people who are just like, hey, we won, moving on. And what we have to say is, no, this is not even close to over.
No, it's not close to over. Randy, you know what I say, Randy? It removed.
It's a huge win. I don't want to.
Yes, I don't want to undersell the win. I mean, Randy's right. It's a huge win because you took the club of a constitutional right enshrined in the Constitution and you removed that club. Now, it did exactly what Justice Scalia said it would do. When you overturn Roe, it goes back to the states. But it's interesting you said the attendance was noticeably less, because I think that means the education of what this issue is becomes increasingly now, Randall, more important.
I want to ask your listeners, Jay, you know that we've just started production on a documentary on Operation Rescue.
Right.
And if people want to see the promo, they can go to my website, randallterry.com. You're in it, as you know. But the young people of this era are different than when you and I were young. And for me, it's not just that they have to be educated on the value of life and that human life begins at conception. We know that. The issue is that young people have got to be taught to have the courage of the early church, to have the courage of being, I am a disciple of Christ, and I will not equivocate. I won't back down. I'm going to fight for these babies, and I'm going to get involved in the state legislatures. So my urging to people is, look, get involved in the political arena. When slavery was with us, there was a Monday in America where you could own a slave. And the following Monday, you could not.
Right.
And what changed was the law. This is going to take a legal change in all 50 states, and whether we do it through a constitutional amendment or through a federal law or state by state, whatever it is, we have to keep fighting, and we have to fight aggressively, courageously. We are the church militant. So I don't believe that big sit-ins are ever going to come back like we had back in the day.
No, that was a time and season, but, right?
Yeah, but what we do need is the courage. We need the clarity. We need to create the social tension, like Martin Luther King said. Social tension always precedes the change of the law. Like Jerry Falwell said, politicians don't see the light till they feel the heat.
Yep.
So
that's very, very true. Randall, we appreciate it. We're getting up on a break here. We appreciate it. Appreciate your insight and some powerful words. We appreciate it. Operation Rescue's founder has been involved in this movement for 40 years.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, RandallTerry.com has a trailer you can watch for his upcoming documentary about sort of the foundations of the movement. Very interesting time. But also people need to know they can speak out on social media, like we broadcast this every day. That's also really a public forum. You have people coming in for free speech. But we know it's always tough. Look, we know without a doubt when we have a show on this topic, the numbers go down. Why? It's not because you're not interested in the topic. It's because it doesn't get served. We know this. This is like not even a speculation. We know certain words, certain topics, you're not going to be monetized. That kind of stuff happens. So to do that, you need to be able to stand up and speak out and be loud about it, because that is the public square at this point. And I know, look, preaching to myself too. You don't want to go on there and stir controversy because all of a sudden the heat is on you.
We had Randy on.
No, I'm saying when you go on your own personal social media pages, it's tough. It's tough to do it.
Yes.
But look, we come back. Jordan's joining us. Jordan's going to be live from Washington, D.C.
So
we're
going to
have a lot more coming up. Yeah, from our offices in Washington, D.C., right across from the March for Life. He's there right now. So go to ACLJ.org again to support the work of the ACLJ. Go to all our social media platforms. Follow, like, subscribe. Do all those things because we are always expanding. We couldn't do it without you. ACLJ.org. We'll be right back with Jordan live from Washington, D.C.
Keeping you informed and engaged now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jay Sekulo.
Everybody, welcome back to the broadcast. We just had Randall Terry on. Very interesting observations. It's a different mood in the March for Life. There's a different turnout. It's lower. I said earlier, Randall said it, we did not rehearse that, that I think you should be having the March for Life on the day of the Dobbs decision. I think that would make more sense because now the Roe versus Wade is overturned. But Jordan is in Washington, D.C. right now at our offices. So, Jordan, what is your sense of what's happening? I know you just arrived a little bit ago. What's your sense?
Well, there's a couple of things. As we celebrate the 30th March for Life, that for 3 years, there was no physical march because of COVID. So they were virtual marches. So this is the first time back in Washington, D.C., and it's significantly changed where the battle is. The battle was right here behind me at the U.S. Supreme Court on Capitol Hill because the Roe versus Wade blocked most states from taking any actions to put restrictions in on abortions. And any time they did, they had to fight it all the way to the Supreme Court. Now that Roe versus Wade has been overturned, what we are all working with, and we've got a lot of pro-life leaders from the top organizations in the country coming to our office after the march today to talk about those issues. We also have Congressman Jim Jordan, the new chair of the House Judiciary Committee. He's going to be joining us at the ACLJ office. We've got our crew here, so people will be able to see that pretty soon as well. But I'll tell you what we've done at the ACLJ differently is we're going to be hosting an event. We've got coffee outside for people who are marching, signs outside for people. We have ACLJ water bottles we're passing out. I don't know if you can see in my hand, so people can get to our website there. Save the Storks is with us with the signage. And to see the kind of new messaging, like let life happen. So I think it's in a transition, as we know, because we've talked about a lot of this broadcast that the battle is now in the states.
Yeah, it is in the states. It's interesting. We had, like I said, Randall was on and gave some interesting observations. You know, Jordan, he said something very interesting. He said, you know, there was a moment in time during the slavery issue where you could own a slave on Monday, but the next Monday you couldn't. In one sense, Dobbs was the predicate to that, the overturning of Roe, but it still gave the states a lot of discretion. And that's where we've got, and also in Washington, we have a lot of work to do.
Certainly, especially at the legislative level, at the state constitution level. And I think what we have to do is make sure we're not rushing these issues to court, because we just saw in South Carolina where we know if there was a vote on life and the right education was done, it would likely win. But it was a case that went to the Supreme Court there, the state Supreme Court there, and they still found in their state constitution a right to privacy. And Dad, you and I talked about the idea that most of those judges on that state Supreme Court were indoctrinated their entire legal career, right or left, that there is a right to privacy in their constitutions. And many are expressing still disagreement with what the U.S. Supreme Court did and asserting their state right role, which is what the Supreme Court opened it up to. So it's a 50-state battle now rather than a battle in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, CeCe, in following up on that, we also have to realize that because the situation is different with Roe being overturned, the strategy and tactics are going to have to be different here. And the front and center on this has got to be the pro-life resource centers.
Yes, so we have to protect the pro-life resource centers, which we do at the ACLJ, because they are on the front lines. And they are really the ones that are helping the battle that we are engaged in, too, for just the hearts and minds and changing hearts and minds. They're the ones that are able to talk to these women, again, on the front lines when these choices are being made. And that's why the pregnancy resource centers are always the ones that are under attack. But yes, we have a fight in all the 50 states for life, and we literally have a fight almost in all the 50 states protecting the pro-life resource centers.
And we're doing it at the ACLJ, and we're going to continue to do that. We're going to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. If you're on the line, hold on. We'll get into you in the next segment of the broadcast. Again, 800-684-3110. Jordan's going to be with us for another segment, right? Okay, very good. So coming to you from our studios and our offices in Washington, D.C., right on Capitol Hill, across from the Supreme Court, across the street from the United States Senate Capitol and the Senate office buildings as well.
Yeah, that's right. Broadcasting live there, and we'll go back to him as well when we get back. Give us a call. We have a few lines open. Those are on hold. Stay on hold. We'll get to you in the final segment, likely, but 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard on the air. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We are taking your calls at 800-684-3110. This is the anniversary of Roe versus Wade's decision. And what's interesting, the March for Life has been always held on the anniversary of Roe versus Wade. Now you have an overturning of Roe.
Yeah, for 40-plus years.
For over 40 years. So I said earlier, and Randy Terry said it as well without rehearsing, that maybe the march should be taking place on the anniversary of Dobbs, which overturned Roe versus Wade. And I think we have to get into that mindset of what that means and what it looks like. Now, Jordan, we've got an event. We're right on Capitol Hill, folks. If you don't know where the ACLJ is, we're on the corner of two of the major intersections and right by the Capitol. And so you're right in the middle of it right there. And we've got a big event in our office in just a little bit.
March will come up. It kind of ends right by our office in Washington, D.C. We've got coffee out for folks and warm beverages, but we're going to have an event with about 55 folks, mostly leaders of the various national pro-life organizations, some state organizations as well. And Congressman Jim Jordan is going to be joining us to address the crowd. And of course, we now know he is the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, as well as that chairman of the subcommittee on the weaponization of the federal government agencies, a work that, I mean, Dad, you think about the work we've done with Jim Jordan going back to the days of the weaponization of the IRS against the Tea Party, and now we see the FBI, the DOJ, even in some of the decisions being made and how they're treating Joe Biden in the classified documents. So it's going to be great to have him here as well. We've got music by Matt Hammett from Sanctus Real. So it's going to be a cool event and something, again, as people have seen me up here talking about utilizing the space we have and the resources we have to open our doors more.
I'm telling you this also, folks, we're going to announce in a little bit, we're expanding our work up there, both in numbers and facilities. So your support of the ACLJ and all of this is very, very critical. I do want to go to the phones at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110.
Yep.
Let's go ahead and take a call.
Yep, Eric's calling in North Carolina. You're on the air.
Hi, Eric.
Yo, there we go. I love you guys so much. Been loving you for years, Jake. Thanks for your work. My question is in regard to getting the message out. I know, I understand that we're very restricted by the media not allowing us to give commercials showing the brutality of abortion. My question is, why not go in through the back door with a message that is constantly showing the humanity of a baby, the heartbeat and so on, mentioning nothing about abortion, but trying to change the conscience of Americans by just saying, this is a human, a baby, and the preciousness of a child. And with billboards advertising on TV and
Eric, said the same thing in our pre-meeting of radio today. I said the same thing. We're going to win this by winning hearts and minds.
Yeah.
And it is the humanity of the unborn child that is what we're protecting here.
Yeah, and you do have to say, I mean, Eric brought up buying billboards. That, obviously, you see those around the country. They do exist.
Yes.
But there are also some pretty strong caps on what advertising a lot of the major networks will carry, including maybe some of your more conservative ones, just because it is such an interesting issue, because it is such a personal issue. Even with our own audience, we have to, you know, kind of be careful on how often you talk about this.
You can't overdo it.
This is not a topic any of us want to talk about every day.
Well, it's because it's, look what we're, yeah, I mean,
no, it's its essence. You have to be able to deal with it. You have to work towards it, but you also know that your audience and yourself mentally cannot handle this conversation every day of your life. So we come to you and we talk about it when it's important, when there's something happening, when there's news, which is often in the organization, being one of the top topics that we know you want to hear about. But we also know people who listen to radio, people that watch television.
Yep.
Often,
yep.
This is a change the channel kind of moment for people.
Yep.
Not because they don't agree with you, because they just don't want to deal with the reality of it.
Well, I think that's true. And it's a kind of, and Jordan, it's a really a different reality now. Go ahead.
Yeah, like look at the language here. Let life happen. It's kind of a different message already that you're talking about. These are being passed out at the march, and we have them in our offices as well for people. You still have the Stop Abortion Now signs as well, kind of the old school signs, but it's that new message and also ways that you can advertise in this new world that doesn't really want a lot of abortion or pro-life advertising. But what I would say is this, is the great thing about the ACLJ and the work that we do is you don't have to live it every day, because we have attorneys and staff who do, who work on this issue every single day of their life every single day of their career. This is a top priority for some of our legal team, our policy team as well. So they are always working on it at the state level, at the local level, at the VAs that we're seeing now, at the federal level, of course. And so that is why I think it's great to support groups like the ACLJ, because we're on the front lines for you on this issue. You know you're pro-life, but it's like Logan was talking about. We don't want to necessarily spend all of our time, or if we're in the car with kids, talking about the murder of babies in the womb or even outside the womb, as we saw 210 Democrats vote for in the United States House against the Born Alive protection. So that's why we exist, to do all of that tough work. By your financial support, we're able to put teams on this who have dedicated their life to living it and working it every day.
Now, that is very, very true. So, but you also have to understand this, and we say this, it does go back to heart and minds. We're going to fight it in the courts. We're going to fight it in the legislature. But like Jordan pointed out with the new sign that Let Life Happen, those kind of things, it is a different messaging right now. And it needs to be, because we're in a post-world where Roe is not the law of the land. So you've got to convince legislators and courts, but also the American people, that we need to stand for the life, the unique life of the unborn child.
Yeah, and that battle in the hearts and minds, I think, I'll just go right back to the pro-life resource pregnancy centers, that, you know, they're able to actually show a mother, you know, an ultrasound when they come into these centers. And that's one of those things where you actually see a win of the hearts and minds when people actually see that is a baby, and you see hearts change, because most women, I think it's over 88% of women, when they see an ultrasound, when they see their baby on an ultrasound, they change their decision to have an abortion. So we know hearts and minds can be changed. And that's where I think the battle is. Yes, the battle's in states, but it's for hearts and minds as well.
It's interesting, Jordan, because the FBI is now offering a $25,000 reward for information on pro-life pregnancy centers attacks, following up on what CeCe said. Meanwhile, there's been no arrest in any of these cases.
Right. I mean, I feel like in one sense, they're acting like you do the work for us, and we'll give you $25,000 if you can refer one, which, by the way, is not an easy process to go through for folks. And I think that they're also at a time where they distrust giving a phone call to the FBI and DOJ about anything involving a pro-life protection. Why are they not able to do this on their own? Why do they need Americans to call it? I mean, it's great to have those resources available, but I feel like it's just them pushing it aside and saying, we're not going to investigate it unless you give us who to investigate. And you better be the right person or else they'll end up coming after you. I just don't like that whole idea. I think it's a smokescreen.
Well, I think it's also, look, I mean, how do they not figure out who Jane's Revenge is? Which is, we have those pictures where they're spray painting and firebombing houses, and you have the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. You have all these resources that could be utilized to do this, and now they have to offer $25,000 to try to get somebody to turn somebody in or get some information, because they have no leads on any of the vandalism that took place from coast to coast. That is pretty ironic. Jordan's right.
Right, and it's not their priority, obviously, because there have been over 100 attacks on pro-life centers. Over 100. And yet not one arrest has been made. So it is not their priority. Yet they're arresting, you know, pro-life people right and left. So you see where the FBI's priority has been. And again, I agree with Jordan that this $25,000 reward is too little, too late, and probably a smokescreen just to get the pressure off their back, because they have announced that over 70% of the crime has been committed against pro-life centers, and they've done nothing about that.
Jordan, again, for people that are just joining us, we only got about a minute left here, a minute and a half before the break. You're in Washington, at our offices in D.C. We're about to expand that work significantly. We're going to announce that later in the year. But at the same time, we've got a big event this afternoon at our offices.
That's right. We're hosting pro-life leaders from all the major organizations. We are going to be joined by the new chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, someone who works very close with us, the ACLJ. It's so exciting to introduce him today, as I will be doing, as the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, Jim Jordan, congressman from Ohio, who, again, has been doing this work about how the government is not doing its job on these kind of issues. And so he will be here. Matt Hammett from Sanctus Real is joining us, and pro-life leaders as well will be hosting in our Washington office, just as the march comes to a close. So it's, again, an example of how the ACLJ, because of our work as the attorneys for many of these groups, can bring all these different parts of the pro-life movement together, which is very key when we take the battle into the states.
All right, very good. Jordan Seculo, Executive Director of the ACLJ at our offices up there in Washington, D.C. We're taking your calls when we come back from the break. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110.
Yeah, if you've ever wanted to be on the air, we actually do have some open lines right now. So this is the time to call while we're in the break here. 1-800-684-3110. If you have questions or comments related to the Dobbs decision, the leaking, all of the stuff that's happened over the last year and all the reports that have come out, as well as other topics, we'll be happy to take some other topics as well. It's Friday, so let's just open up the lines for some other topics. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ. Go to aclj.org. Watch all of our great content. Subscribe on Rumble. Subscribe on YouTube, Facebook, all of those. We'll be right back with more. Again, 800-684-3110. Phone lines are open.
Back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Wes Smith is joining us. Wes, of course, is our senior military analyst, but what some people may forget or new to the broadcast is also a pastor. And I said, Wes, at the beginning of the broadcast that part of the battle here, a really big part of the battle, is going to be changing hearts and minds. You can legislate, you can do all the legal work, but hearts and minds have to be changed that this is the value of an unborn child's life.
Yeah, absolutely. When all is said and done and all the arguments are finished, we're talking about a human being, a life. And that makes it a very serious moral and spiritual issue. I was thinking about it before I came in the studio today, Jay, in my own counseling as a pastor. I've talked with women who have undergone an abortion and who need to talk about it. And what is so interesting is that it so profoundly impacts so many of these women. And I go into a counseling session and I think I'm going to talk about them processing the decision or personal ramifications in their family and their life. And what it so often becomes is grief counseling for this person. Yeah. And so changing hearts and minds is so important. And I'm encouraged by what we read, Jay, that some of the strongest pro-life support is in women who are in their 20s and 30s now who are childbearing age, and they are coming out more and more for life. And
yeah, I think that is encouraging. And I do think it goes to this whole issue of the understanding that we're talking about an unborn child's life.
Yeah, that's the education that's needed. And like I said earlier, you know, when a woman goes into a pregnancy resource center, they're able to have an ultrasound done. And when they see that ultrasound, it is almost an immediate acknowledgement that that is a baby, that is a life that needs to be protected. And a huge majority, over almost 90% of them, choose to have that child once they see that baby. And I agree with what Wes said. I think most women live with that regret because at some point in their life, they are faced with the fact that they did take a child's life. Yeah. And that, you know, the Lord can absolutely, you
heal
know, provide
that.
The forgiveness and the healing. And I'm sure, Wes, you've seen that in
yeah,
a lot that you've done as well.
Yeah, and it's an honor to walk with them through that process of healing and receiving a forgiveness for that. So many of them, interesting, Cece, is when they have children later on in life and they hold that baby or that toddler in their arms that they realize the impact, how serious that decision earlier on was.
All right,
let's go ahead and take some phone calls. A lot of you called in. Appreciate it. Let's go to Terry, who's calling in Minnesota on line 4. You're on the air.
Hi, Terry.
Yeah. Hi, gentlemen. How are you doing? And
great.
Hi, Cece. How are you? Thanks for everything that you do. Jordan was actually absolutely right. We have to work together in these states. I'm in Minnesota, and the House File 1 just went through, and they voted on the PRO Act. And Cece and y'all were absolutely right. There's so much pain and so much hurt from a woman that has gone through an abortion, that we need to reach out to them as well, and they can be the biggest advocates. That abortion bill included abortion until birth, a botched abortion. Nothing, that baby is not protected with life-saving care at all. And now they have minor girls can go into Planned Parenthood, and I see it as a sidewalk counselor with no consent from the parents or notification. So a girl at any age under 18 can go in. You know, and that's what they're passing, these radical Democrats who are funded by Planned Parenthood here in the state of Minnesota.
You know, it's interesting you said that, Terry, because and you mentioned your sidewalk counselor. We just won a case at the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit defending the right of sidewalk counselors to do that, offering counseling and alternatives. And we were successful in that, so that was some good news. But you're absolutely correct. In a situation where legislation is passed that gives no protection to human life, this we call this in the law, we've been talking about personhood. This is the person of the unborn child having constitutional protection. Now, what Dobbs did was overturn a right to terminate that person's life. But what we don't have is universal in the country recognition that that life is worthy of protection. And that is going to come through hearts and minds. A kind of legislation helps and law helps. But you have to move it to that next level.
Yeah. And if you have women who understand that when they're pregnant, that is a baby, and you don't have women going to these abortion clinics, then you have won a major part of the battle. If Planned Parenthood doesn't have any clients, that's a win. And so when we're able to educate women on the fact that, and really the American people, that this is a child, this is a human being. I think ultrasounds do that. And I know some of the callers were saying, you know, younger people are getting on board with this. You know, I have a daughter that's in that 20-ish range and her friends. I do see that there is a change kind of happening where these younger you know, ladies are understanding that is a human being and it deserves protection.
The medical technology has helped.
Yes.
My brother-in-law is a radiologist and has been for 40 years, said the technology was going to get so advanced, 3D imaging, multi-dimensional imaging, that the argument that this is not a child is just not going to work. And I think that's true. I think that part is true. It's just you've got these competing forces, if you will, that are engaged in this. Let's go ahead and take another call.
Yep, let's go ahead. Let's go to Elijah in California on line three. You're on the air.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for taking my phone call.
Sure.
My point is set the example. I want to point to the 407,000 children that are in foster care.
Yes.
My family and I have adopted 7 children, and whenever we go to abortion clinics or we talk to those who are Democrats or on the far liberal side, we point to the children who we have already adopted and who we are taking care of and showing their lives. And so if I could just kind of preach a little bit of a message in regards to setting the example, if we are going to be fighting against abortion laws and fighting against things, then we need to take care of the children that are already current alive and really show our very best to show that their lives matter. I feel like there's a huge push on the far left side of things in regards to how there isn't life, like good living here in America. There, you know, there's children who are struggling already. But if we were to take care of the children that are alive as a body of Christ, we would then be able to show them and set the example that, hey, life is worth living. God has a purpose for every single infant that is born.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, our former government affairs director, Than Bennett, who was with us for many, many years and was on this program regularly and told everybody that he was going into a different work and a different ministry. And his focus is actually on foster care.
That's right.
So I agree with Elijah on that. I think that is important. But I will say this, believers are doing it. It is happening. It's not like it's not happening, and I think that's a really good thing. As we wrap this broadcast up, it's a historic moment, Wes, in the sense that this is the first post-Dobbs March for Life. Mm-hmm. It is now a march. You know, before it was a March for Life as this kind of protest against Roe, and I think they need to move the date to the date the Dobbs decision came down.
Yes.
The actual decision, not the leaked decision,
right.
Although it was obviously very close to the final decision. Because I think it's something to commemorate and actually celebrate now.
Yeah.
Where before you were commemorating an anniversary of a horrible event, now you have something to celebrate.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think as Christians, sometimes we don't celebrate enough.
Yep.
You know, and this is something to celebrate, to give thanks to God for. This movement and all of us involved in it have come a long way. And so much good has been done, and there's so much good that needs to be done.
I didn't think I was going to live to see it. I remember, you know, we had Randall Terry on earlier. We showed that picture. It was from 1991, I think, or 1990. And that was 30 years ago. And, I mean, I was in courts where the judges would say, don't mention a particular case by name, a case we had won. And they said, well, you don't mention that court, that decision in this courtroom. And they never would get away with that today, by the way. I will say that. That would not happen today. But they did then. And they didn't get away with it then either. I mentioned the case anyways. But the point was that they even thought they could do that. So we've made a lot of progress. So thank you for your support. of the American Center for Law and Justice. Jordan gave you a little bit of a hint of what's going on in our office in D.C. That office is about to expand. Your support of the ACLJ, that's all of this happened. ACLJ.org. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you Monday.